Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 6, recorded June 28, 2011, Smoke and Solder. Hello, everybody. I really should say hello, world. I got a letter again today from New Zealand. I got one from South Africa. Oh, man, this is great. My name is Bob Heil, and we welcome you to Ham Nation. It's a program where we talk about ham radio and everything that we do in this wonderful hobby. And I'm so happy today to have a surprise guest. And first of all, let's introduce our co-host, Gordon West, from down in good old Newport Beach. Gordo, how are you doing? Did you survive field day?
We did. Field day was terrific. Susie and I saw 225 people come through, and the field day was just spectacular. And the bands were great. Back to you, Bob.
I've never heard the bands this good. 6 meters was wide open for, I think, 2 days. It was so much fun. So that was super. We'll talk about that in a little. But we have our special guest, I think, from his backyard. He's studying for his, look at that, technician class license. And I think it's none other than the master twit, Leo.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Gordo.
Hey, Leo.
I'm ready. I'm getting ready.
We're ready for you, Leo, and we're hoping to have you join this wonderful, crazy bunch of things that we call ham radio. And I know you're going to be so excited to get on the air, and like you don't get on the air enough. But it's kind of fun to be able to throw a piece of wire up in your backyard and talk to somebody in Russia. How much fun is that, huh?
Well, this is going to be my ham shack out here. The hot tub's over there. I think the hot tub make a great ground for the antenna, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That water always works well, doesn't it, Gordo? You've proven that so many times.
Yeah. He's already passed one of the test questions.
You have some questions, don't you? Well, why don't you run those by, Gordo? You got a couple of cool little questions here that actually are on the test. Let's hear. See if I can pass that.
All right, Bob, from the technician class pool, rules and regulations, out of 68 questions, 6 will be on Leo's exam. And how often do you give your call sign? Every how many minutes?
I have no idea. In radio, you have to do it at the top of the hour every hour. I'm going to say, is this not multiple choice?
Oh, it is.
Give me some choices.
Is it 5? 10, 15, or 20 minutes?
I'm going to say 10. That's just a guess.
Oh, you are absolutely correct.
Why yeah!
For all the chat room, I hope you're going to keep score now. He's already one up.
Good job, Leo.
I just want to say I haven't read anything yet. I was holding on. Okay, well, I'm going to start studying now. I didn't know whether there'll be a test here. Look, I like the bookmark, Gordo, you send out with this. There's a picture of Gordo in the bookmark. I love that.
Well, thanks, Leo. And you did just great on that one. And we'll have more quizzes in following weeks. Back
Can we
to you,
stop
Bob.
Now? Good.
Well, we're really looking forward to doing this. And our idea is to have you come on and just go through a few of the questions each week. And before long, why, Gordo has everything set up that you're going to be able to pass that test without a doubt.
And I feel very confident for one reason and one reason only. If John C. Dvorak can pass the technician's class test, I can do it. I want to go on to get that extra class, though. That's what I want to go for.
Yes, well, you can do it. I did it, so anybody can do it. I know you can. And don't forget, Kirk has his technician license, too.
Yeah. Well, Kirk's actually a pretty good radio guy. I'm not surprised. Does it count for anything that I had an FCC third class license at one point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that has merit. It won't necessarily count for the ham, but we'll give you some sort of great credit for it, Leo.
Thank you. Just a pat on the back. That's all I ask, Gordo.
You got
it. I'm excited. I really am. And actually, you know, the real reason I want to do this is because I understand I'll be able to buy a lot of gear, and that's all I really live for.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about the gear.
It's all about the gear. Look at all this crazy stuff behind me and in front of me and all that
exactly.
kind of stuff. And, hey, you know what's going to happen after a while? We're going to show new gear. Look at this. This is the new Elecraft. And what's this story? This was your roommate, Eric Schwartz, was your roommate in college?
Yes. Yeah, in college. He wasn't my roommate. He was the station manager of the radio station. Look, I'm going to get into my ground loop here in a moment. It'll be great. He was the radio station engineer, and he went on. He founded a couple of big computer companies, Mountain Computer he worked at. Really smart guy. He was so smart that this is back in 1975, 76, he was building a computer in his dorm room, and we thought he was kind of crazy to build a computer in his dorm room. Are you nuts? But it turned out he had the right idea.
Well, I'm holding his little K3, which has become one of the most popular radios in ham radio. It weighs a mere 7 pounds. It's very light and small, but it will outperform just about every radio out there. So we'll have to see if Eric can get us when you get the studio all done, here's what I envision. I haven't talked to you about this yet, but I think we're going to have to find a little place somewhere in the new studio that's going to have a place for Leo's ham radio station.
Uh-huh. Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
So when Gordo and I come to visit, we can get back there and get on the bands and talk to people.
Oh, you bet. We'll put it in there. Forget the test. You just have to tell me what stuff to buy. That's what I really want to know.
We can handle that.
Can Eric, we have a hot tub in the radio station, too?
Could have. Why not?
Has anybody ever done a ham radio broadcast from a hot tub?
I don't think so. Do you know about that, Gordo? I don't think so.
Never. Let's take a look at that water, Leo.
Oh, you don't believe me, but I'm actually in it.
I do believe you. That's going to be a great ground.
I'm all set. I'm ready to take the test. I'm relaxed. I'm clean. I'm ready.
Oh, well, listen, we're going to let you enjoy your hot tub, and
okay.
Thank you very much for spending a few moments, and all of the Ham Nation audience know what's going to happen now. Leo is going to come on here and get his license happening. Well, you even have some volunteer FCC examiners, right, Gordo? It's going to come in the studio?
We do. When he's ready to take the test, we're going to first test him in the studio. Then we'll come probably live on the air when we congratulation to him for 35 out of 35 answered correctly.
This puts some pressure on, obviously, to take this live. Are you crazy?
I'm
ready. I feel good.
What will be live will be your graduation. We'll let you test before you go on camera.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I'll see you later, guys. The hot tub is awaiting, but, you know, I'll leave the bubbler going for you.
Thanks a lot, Leo. And we'll talk to you next week and weeks after. And boy, oh, boy, I can't wait till he gets his license. That's going to be really a great graduation.
I'm really excited. I can't wait.
He is one great ham, huh, Bob?
He's going to be the best. He really is. And one thing about it, Leo Laporte will not have what we call mic fright.
No, not at all.
No. Does that happen? Do people get the license, they get the thing, and they press the key, and they don't know what to say, right?
Uh-huh. Precisely. That's exactly right. They have what we call mic fright. It's really amazing. They get all this studying, they get their license, and then they can't get on the air because they're afraid to talk.
Not me.
I don't think that's going to be a problem with you.
By the way, I hope the name of the show, Smoke and Solder, doesn't have anything to do with what's about to happen to this hot tub.
Smoke and Solder is our new adventure here after a while. We're going to build a cold practice oscillator if I don't burn my shack down, but that's okay.
Oh, how fun. I am so excited to be joining this cult of the ham. I'm really excited. I can't wait.
Well, we are very honored. We, the amateur radio community, are very honored to be a part of the TWiT network, and hopefully we'll have you on 20 meters before long. But for now, we're going to have some fun bringing amateur radio to the world, and I really mean the world. Thanks very much for all this, Leo. Enjoy your hot tub, and we'll talk to you next week.
They call this episode Boiled Ham. Bye-bye, guys.
bye, Leo.
See ya. Oh, that's too super. Too super. See, I had technical difficulties here, Gordo, but it was worth it.
Look at him. Just look at him. He's having way too much fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? So am I. And I know you are too, because I know that there are thousands of listeners on the podcast. We've got a whole room full of chat room guys that are having fun. And then we've got some pretty good audience watching the video. And it's really a wonderful thing to be able to bring you all of this fun. And one of the things that we just completed, we talked about it last week a little bit, and Gordo, you were having some real fun at your field day classes. And how did your field day work out? I'm sure it was successful.
It was good. What we had was field day academy, evening sessions the week before field day. And then, of course, we set up for field day Friday, beginning 1100 hours California time. And we started operating Saturday for 24 hours. We had 12 stations, not near as many as what folks are soon to see here and hear here, but we had 12 stations on the air simultaneously. One was on a 200-foot balloon. One balloon got away, but someone else from the weather service came in, a ham, and saved the day. And it was just a great time. And probably the best part, not the radios, not the antennas, was just the camaraderie between fellow ham operators getting the job done.
Well, that's what it's all about, is that we go there with all of the intentions to have a 24-hour period of working the world, and you never know what happens. Well, that's the best part of it, is that it's a test. It's a test of all of our knowledge and our fortitude to be able to put antennas up. We have no power. It all has to come from planning, and we saw some incredible happenings. I got some pictures sent in from the WAO operation. That was amazing. We talked just a little bit about that last week. I think we might have a couple of pictures of that thing this week. W3LPL Frank, he and Roland put this thing together. There were 24 stations, all in operations, and you can see just a few of them. They look like a phone bank for a telethon. No, that's Frank in the front here, all working different bands and all kinds of antennas and solar power and, of course, gasoline generators. They did a magnificent thing. I think maybe next week we'll be able to have them on. Gordon, that's their GOTUS station. Talk a little bit about that GOTUS station. I am really intrigued by this.
Well, GOTA is Get On The Air, and it's designed for hams that haven't been on the air for some time to get used to rebroadcasting again. And it's also great for kids who might not have their ham license, called third-party traffic, perfectly permissible to let an unlicensed operator in the presence of a control operator operate the GOTA station. And it's a great way for those that not have been on the air lately to get on the air via ham radio.
We had a lot of fun at the several of the sites that I visited here, and it's so thrilling to watch these. And they're not just youngsters. One of them I saw was in his 70s. He had just gotten his license, and it was the first time that he was ever able to get on the low frequencies and talk across the world. And, oh, he was having so much fun. And that's a really cool feature of Field Day, that the operations allow you to get on and operate a ham radio station. So how much fun is all of that? We really enjoyed the weekend. I went to the Boeing. Boeing here in St. Louis, and I think in each one of the cities, Boeing has an amateur radio club for their employees. And boy, they had a nice operation. We saw some really nice things there. The weather was a little smacked in the middle of the day. Some storms started out, and so they couldn't really do what they wanted until they got a few hours into it. There's the QSL card, Gordon, for the Boeing Amateur Radio Club in St. Louis. Is that beautiful or what?
Oh, that is just terrific. And yes, we heard several of the Boeing amateur radio stations on the air, and what a powerful signal they had.
Well, these guys are real pros. I know several of them from years past, worked in amateur radio stores. Joe is a great CW operator, and he worked for the ham radio store in St. Louis for years, and then he went to work for Boeing. And these guys are real pros, but it makes it so much fun when you mix people that come into the field day and into their club that don't have the experience. So it's so much fun to get all that happening. We're very, very happy to be able to see some of that go on today. So field day was fun. What happened at your Santa Ana fire prevention field? Was that all fun? You had a lot of contacts, didn't you?
We had a good number of contacts, and we tried different modes. In fact, in back of me, you probably see the digital mode, PSK-31, MFSK, a lot of different digital modes, because I know a lot of our listeners and our readers wanted to be sure that we mentioned that you don't have to just yak on the airways to get a good signal out. And we found that some of the digital modes were just fascinating and that we could make contact, yet you couldn't even hear that digital mode coming through the static. And we had a good set of headphones always comes in handy. And something that didn't work as well as we had thought were amplified speakers. And we would have headphones plugged into the speakers, and we found that on transmit, our own audio was coming out of the speaker. So we went back to traditional speakers, and then everything worked fine. So that's what field day for us was about, was trying different things in light of, let's say, a practice emergency for our served agency, the Santa Ana Fire Department. And we found some things that worked well, and we found out some things that didn't work well until we made a quick switch in the field.
Well, that's part of the whole game, is figuring out what works and what doesn't work. But I know that you guys did well, and that's the best part. And it's all about testing each of our capacities when we get into storm modes and all of the damage we've had this year. The field days operations, that's the way we get to test ourselves and find out what can we really do.
Absolutely.
So, that was really great. You guys had it together, because you got to have classes before from the great teacher of Gordon West. So that was cool. That's great. I also had heard from several other operations. They did balloon launches. Now, did you do a balloon launch? I think you did, didn't you?
Oh, I don't even want to think about that. We did. It went up and down several times. Luckily, we had a complete H tank of helium. One time it went up, then came down, burst. And you can see the 160-meter helium tank was needed for a weather balloon. And, you know, it was a ham just monitoring the frequency that said, hey, I'm with the Coast Guard Auxiliary. I work with the Weather Service, and I'm going to be here in just a moment. So that's the neat thing about field day, is hams just come out of nowhere, and they pull it off.
Yeah, that's great. For our listeners on this show, the reason that we have a balloon, that we launch a balloon, when we get into the lower frequencies, these antennas are 120 or 240 foot long, thereabouts. And we need to get them up, not extremely high, but we need to get them up 30, 40, 50 feet. And how are you going to do that out in the field? You don't have a lot of trees sometime, so you put it on a balloon. up she goes, and it really works well when you get it up there. Of course, hopefully you won't lose the balloon, right, Gordo?
That's right.
I know they had some of that at 3AO. Well, that's great, and we hope that that everybody has had a great time, and I'm sure we'll get some pictures sent in to us. And that, while we're talking about that, I have a lot of response from people wanting to know exactly how to get in touch with Gordon and I, or and you have suggestions or pictures. And so we want to invite all of you. There's our email down at the bottom of the screen, my call, Gordon's call at ARRL.net. And just feel free to send us your comments, good or bad. We want to know, because it's your show. It's your show. We want you to have as much fun as we've had. And in my case, it's been my college education. I've been extremely fortunate and blessed to be able to do a lot of things. And one of them landed us in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We're the only manufacturer in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. How did I get there? And I have a lot of people ask me, how did you do that? What college did you go to? What school? I didn't. I barely got out of eighth grade. Well, where'd you learn it? Ham radio. And they're going to say, ham radio? You mean talking on a microphone? Yes. But you see, ham radio is a lot more. It's stuff like this. Soldering irons. You always want to carry one with you. You build things. And it's very important to me to make sure that everybody that gets into the hobby gets in a little bit of the building thing. Back when I got in the mid-50s, oh man, you had to build your own stuff. And Gordo, you got in at the time when we were still building things, right?
Oh, that's right. And nothing feels better than being able to put something together and have it actually work, whether it's a simple code oscillator that I think you're about ready to finish this evening, or an elaborate Heath kit that was the staple back then.
Wasn't it something? Boy, we had such fun with the old Heath kit stuff. How many of those things did we put together? It was really an experience. And we want to introduce a new section to the show. This segment is going to We're going to try to keep this going each week of doing things. I hope this works okay, that you guys and gals can see what I'm about to do. And for the podcasters, we're going to tell you what's happening. I have a little printed circuit board. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to move the camera down here. And let's see what happens when we bring this little puppy down. I think you'll be able to see what's going on. And I was at Gateway Electronics in St. Louis. Gateway is an incredible company. They carry all kinds of parts. I mean, big time. You name it, they have it. And you want to check out their website. It's just gatewayelectronics.com. And resistors, capacitors, tubes, and all kinds of fun things. Well, this is a kit that I got from them. And we're going to make a code oscillator, because we really should get into a little bit of Morse code. So it's kind of fun to build that. And what you have to do is get out the little circuit board that came in the kit. Now, I went ahead and I soldered in the battery connector, and I soldered in the wires for the key, and I soldered the speaker. That took a little more time. I thought, well, we'll do that quick. Here's the meat and potatoes of it. First of all, there's only four parts. There's two resistors, and there's a resistor. Now, we're going to get into all the colors so we can tell the difference here as we get into ham radio deep and heavy in subsequent shows. But for right now, I'm just following the instructions of what the colors were, and this one's going to be green, brown, and orange. That's 51,000 ohms. And then the second one I'm going to put in here is brown, green, and orange. And that one's a little different. Same colors, but they're reversed a little bit. Now, what we're going to do is put them in the board. I think we can see how I do this. Hope so. And then on the bottom side, we're going to solder them. Make sure that you don't burn yourself. Get out the old soldering iron. Are you ready, Gordo? Here we go, huh?
All right. And for our listeners, yes, he is holding the soldering iron by the correct end. A good ham has always done it backwards just once and not in a hot tub. We're watching. That's a good close-up, Bob.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And for you listeners, why soldering is not a difficult thing. And for the viewers, we're going to get into soldering also. I know somebody I talked to this afternoon said, well, you ought to start soldering first. Well, we'll get into that. But I just want to prove to you how much fun all this is, and then we'll get into how we did it and why we did it. Now, here comes the big one, Gordo. It's an electrolytic. It's one of those $5 words. An electrolytic is polarized, and it's got a plus and a minus, and you have to make sure that you put it in right, or it will not work, and sometimes it'll blow up if you got it backwards, correct?
That's correct. And, you know, Bob's wearing safety glasses, and we always encourage you, always solder with safety glasses and solder with a little fan so you're never going to inhale any of the smoke that may come up as a residue of the soldering process. So good ventilation, safety glasses, a good steady hand. Don't hold the soldering iron by the wrong end, and always observe polarity on those electrolytics. On the resistors, that's okay. They can go in either way as long as you read the color code correctly. All right, here he goes. Let's see if it works.
Well, I got one more part to put in here. Wait a minute. I'm looking through my big glasses to make sure I didn't have any solder bridges, and that was all done right. Okay, now comes the good part. It happens to be the last capacitor. You got to have the last part, right? And that's the one you're looking for. And again, we put that in there, bring out the soldering iron, and we're finished soldering. So we should be about ready to make some noise here. A lot of people, when they solder, they don't heat up the components. They just kind of slap it on there, and you can't do that. You want to get the component wire up to temperature and then apply the solder. Now, last part, Gordo, is the most important. It's the little 555 IC chip. This guy is amazing. Throughout the different smoke and solder sessions, you'll be seeing a lot of 555 integrated circuits. Gordo, do you know how many transistors are in there? I do not, but there's a lot, aren't there?
A bunch.
Hundreds, isn't it?
I bet our readers know. In fact, that'll be a challenge. Listeners, readers, and watchers, if you know how many individual component transistors in a 555 IC, let us know.
The chat room will know. Trust me. They will know. They will.
They'll figure it out.
There you go. Okay, we're going to take these two wires. We're going to hook them up to the old key. This is a wonderful key that I've had for so many years. It was made by the Lionel people. And you're going to say, whoa, they're electric trains. That's how I really got started in electronics back in 1950. I had a lot of trains. I'm sure all of you did. A lot of you. And Lionel built this. The story about that, Gordo, was they built it during the war. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess so. You know the story. That one's got me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lionel, they had the contract to build this J38 key. What a great old key this was.
Oh, a J38. Okay, now I've got it together. All right.
And I don't know how many millions, but a lot. And many of us started with the J38. And you might be able to see it underneath there, but it's marked. Okay, here goes the last piece, and that happens to be the battery. And make sure it's polarized, right? How about that? Now, I don't know if you'll be able to hear this where we're going here, but we'll see how that goes. Okay. And one thing I got to do, I should have looked at this before. I always like to go through and make sure there are no shorts between all the wire. You want to make sure that all works good. Because I built one of these a while ago. You able to hear that okay? It's not real loud.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it looks impressive.
Yeah, it's not very loud, but it's there. And I see I should have changed one of the other resistors to make it loud, but I didn't want to blow the microphone apart.
All right, a success. He built CW Keir. Good job, Bob.
Let me show you what I did back about 58. I did that same circuit only using a transistor. And this is where it goes. You build this little guy, and there I put an extra transistor to make it louder, and I put it in a little box. Now, I remember I built this back up. It was around 56 or 7, I think it was. But this particular little box was the one that I used to make my whole life happen. Ham radio was my life. And this same J38 was with me through all these years. And I'll let you hear this after all these many decades. Let's see if this thing still works. And you take what we just built there, and you put that into a box, and you can get all these kind of boxes from Gateway Electronics. And you can get that all going. We'll plug it in here, and here's what happens. Can you see it okay? I think you can.
Oh, yeah. We see it fine.
Bet you can hear that okay.
Yeah, pretty shaky V for victory.
Yeah. I'm doing that left-handed for all you guys in the chat room. I don't want to hear about it now.
Love that. Well, that is terrific. I know when Susie built her Heathkit weather station and then went on to build a UHF line-of-sight TV decoder, they were a success. And, you know, nothing beats the thrill of putting together a simple circuit or maybe something as exotic as the Elecraft K3, and have it work. Good job, Bob.
Exactly. Thank you. Well, we're happening. As I said, we've done so much over the years, and it all happens because of ham radio. Where else could you do some of this stuff? But Gateway Electronics, I thank them for sending all of the parts and pieces to me to do that. And let you guys and gals see a little bit about what we do to make some smoke and solder happening. And we'll have other things go on here. And who knows what we build. But here's one of the things you can build. You can build this guy. This is the Elecraft K3 that we were talking about a while ago. This was a kit. And you can build this. It's not going to be that quick. It's a little bit more complicated, but you'd be surprised. It's not bad, but oh, buddy, this thing will outperform just about every transceiver out there. It is amazing. And so many of the top DX contests and the guys that go out on the DX expeditions where they go out and spend a lot of time on a lonely island somewhere, this is what they take because it only weighs about 7 pounds. And you can build it from a kit. And there's a lot of this going on today. I'm so happy to see companies like Elecraft and others that are bringing such exotic pieces of equipment in kit form. And it just makes it so much fun. And what kind of a verification do you need other than build this thing and know that you built it and it works? And
That's
what ham radio's about, isn't it, Gordon?
It sure is, and that's a fun kit to build because you don't have to solder every single tiny micro component or surface mount technology component, but rather you're more putting boards together and then doing a lot of checking out to make sure everything is tuned up just right. So quite a great kit. And, you know, there's all sorts of radios that are not necessarily kits that find their ways into the ham shack. And Bob, I think you've got some photos of some pretty marvelous ham shacks, huh?
We do. We got another segment that we're going to start, and I want each of you listening tonight, send us a picture of your station. I would love to hear a picture or see a picture, and we'd like to hear you on the air sometime. We can make some kind of a schedule, I betcha. But I would really invite each of you to send Gordon and I a picture of your station. And here's a couple of stations that that I had. These are people that Gordon and I know, these people, and talk to them on the air. But it'll show you some of the different stations that that are making up the wonderful world of ham radio. Let's see if we can bring up a couple of these, and we'll talk about it.
Oh, wow.
This is a very special person. I have gotten, I would imagine, at least 50 or more emails and a few phone calls about what is that thing up above my head that's blinking all the time, right underneath the on-the-air sign. The on-the-air sign is an old piece of gear. It was a high-gain thing. But you see that meter? Hello? See it moving back there? Hello? That is a Duro meter. Just about every radio station in the world has a Duro meter. It's a very calibrated VU meter, but it's digital. It does a lot of things. But back in the 60s, it was Mike Duro, the station we just saw, that brought us some split band compression, and there's still a number of stations using his gear. They still build today. What you see there is KO6NM. We call him No Money Mike. And every night you will hear him on the air on 3870. 3870 is a big AM frequency. It has been for years. It's kind of a gentleman's agreement over the decades that AM would be from 3870 to 3890. That's his AM station. Those are transmitters that he's rebuilt. And that's Mike's station. And let's see, say who's next in line. Mike Duro, the famous Duro. Well, gosh, look who it is. It's WB6ACU. And Joe tells me this is his favorite setup, and he's got a lot of them. That setup is a very rare Hallicrafters SX88 and a Valiant 500. You can just see the corner of it. He's got one of those really beautiful classic microphones. And he, again, is on 3870 quite often. He runs that net when he's not out playing guitar or doing things in the music world. But that's one of Joe's stations. And let's see what else we got cranking up here. The wonderful and the beautiful Sharon K6IRD. She's in front of some very beautiful vintage gear. I don't like to call it old gear. It's vintage gear. The Collins radios and Hammerland receivers and Hallicrafter receivers, all these beautiful old things that just make it happen. But they're vintage and they're restored. And she got her license. You probably know that story a lot better than I, don't you, Gordy? She went through that in a big hurry because she wanted to be a ham so bad, right?
She did. She came to the class. Susie and I gave her a little bit of coaching. She didn't need any coaching. She and Wayne just maxed the class. Wayne was already licensed, saying that Sharon wanted to get her ticket, and she did a fabulous job. She really set the pace for that class.
Well, the next picture is why she knew so much, because her husband, sitting in the same radio, is W6IRD. Now, here again, her call is K6IRD. His call is W6IRD, and they are just the greatest net control couple in the world. And the Collins nets and the AM nets, they just get all excited when Sharon calls a net. And Gordon, I'm amazed at how well she can do. She's relatively new ham, but you'd think she'd been licensed for decades. She grabs a hold of that microphone and she commands that frequency, doesn't she?
Oh, she does. In fact, I think she's worked like 200 plus countries and she's proud of it.
Yeah. I always tell Wayne, you know what, buddy? When she gets her license, you're going to come home to a hot transmitter and a cold stove. That's what happens. And then let's see. I think Dan's coming up next here. Yes, Dan has a wonderful station. He's in Southern California. That's just a piece of his big station. It's really something. And his call is in K6PEQ. And then his wife is in 6PEQ. I might have got that backwards. But they both are great operators. He's really in to the DX. He's got a wonderful station there. And you'll notice above it, he's got his computers hooked up. Instead of the little screen and the radio you see down there, most of these radios today, you can hook up large screen. Now, you can hook a 50-inch plasma to them. And he's got a very nice big screen where he can see all of the things that the radio's doing. That one has two radios in it. You can see there's two different frequencies. So he can be talking on one and listening for some distant station on another. That's the ICOM 7800. It's an incredible thing. And what I wanted to show you a while ago in this, you'll notice in the back of the K3 that they have inputs for your computer, and you plug your computer in here, and you can have it do that same thing. It'll monitor all of the things on a larger screen. You can use it remotely. Use a remote. There's all kinds of things, as you know. I use myself. I use LogMeIn, and then we have a thing called Ham Radio Deluxe. It'll operate the radio from your computer, so you can be anywhere in the country and work your ham radios from your laptop. And almost all of the radios today are doing that because they've all gotten hip to the many things that computers can do for a radio. And to carry that on a little further, we get in with the Flex radio, which is SDR, software-defined radios, where it's just a black box, and you plug it into your computer, and you tell it what frequencies, how wide you want it to be, whatever you want to do. It is really, really something. We're going to have those guys on in a few weeks explaining that. So all you guys with computers, and don't you imagine, Gordo, there's a few guys watching the program today that have a computer. Don't you think that's right?
They're probably helping design these types of pieces of equipment. You bet. And you know, people always ask us, well, what's the best brand? And I say all of them are terrific. You really need to sit down at a pal's radio and play and see how you like it and how the knobs feel, or the fact that it has almost no knobs. And that way you'll choose the best radio. And here at my shack, I have one of each of the different brands, and it just depends whether I'm fishing for DX or looking for public service comms, or tuning you in on AM, each radio sort of has its own purpose. So all the brands are great.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we'll be looking for your pictures in the future. You send us your pictures of your station and tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll feature it here because we want to do that for the section each week that we're going to call Show Us Your Shack. So get out the old camera and take some pictures and let us know a little bit about what ham radio means to you, so we can share that with our audience. And there's a growing audience here, both on the podcast as well as the live, and of course on iTunes. If you didn't know, is you're out running around, you can dial up. All of the programs archived on iTunes now. So we're really having a fun time bringing you all of this. And it's meaningful, though. We're going to help bring ham radio to more people, and then we're going to have more hams join us. So that's the whole deal. We also want to do a segment about school, radio school, back to school, we like to call it. Gordo, you want to take over for a few minutes? And you've got a couple of questions and a couple of answers and a couple of recommendations of how we get started. How do you get started in ham radio?
All right. Well, thanks, Bob. And this will be short. Three levels of licensing. Technician, the entry-level license that lets you do so much on both VHF as well as on high frequency, especially 10 meters, where this past weekend we had Wilson High School students using a small handheld, a 10-meter, 12-meter, single sideband handheld, just coming on the market, soon to be seen at your ham store. And the technician license allows for Skyways and VHF transmissions all over the country. And we'll be doing more of that demonstration in days to come. 396 questions in the pool, but only 35 multiple questions on the test. Then we upgrade to general class, and people say, well, I want to do all three licenses in a hurry. We say, no, slow down. Enjoy technician class and all there is before you think about studying for general. General class, 456 total questions to study, only 35 on the test. And, of course, the highest license is called the extra class. That one has 738 questions in the pool, 50 on the test. Now, here's the good news. All of the test pools are published. They're put together by fellow ham radio amateur radio operators, and the pools must use for the test the exact same questions. So there'll be no strange questions on the test. Rules and regulations for a technician, 68 total questions, such as how often must you identify with your call sign. For general class, they get a little bit more intense with the rules, 65 questions, of which 5 are on your general test. They might say, as an accredited examiner, remember, hams can test themselves, which exams may you administer as a general? That's right. The answer is technician class. It takes the extra to administer general and extra class exams. And finally, the extra class, that has 85 questions on rules and regulations, of which 6 will be on the test. And the extra is a more technical type of test. They might say, for one question, how close to the band edge could you operate? And would it be permissible to operate at, let's say, 3601 kilohertz? Well, if you're using lower sideband, nope, you'd slop out of the band by a couple of KC. So you need to stay above the bottom of the band when using sideband. Some of the questions on the question pool. Next week, we're going to talk about the questions dealing with operating procedures. And these are fun ones that deal with using satellites, using handheld equipments for the new technician class operator, and even some operating procedures where they want you to know a little bit about each band. So we encourage all of you, get your study materials and start with rules and regulations and start with technician class. There's no jumping. You got to start with tech. But when you earn that technician class license, which Leo is soon to earn, you have the world waiting to talk with you via handheld, via mobile radio, or as you see at the shack here. And Susie always says, keep your shack neat because you never know when someone's going to be looking in. You'll be able to work Skywaves. So start your studies now if you're not a ham. And for those of you that are hams and you want to begin teaching ham radio, let me know and I'll send you a free package on how to teach a tech, a general, or an extra class. So there you go. Back to school. That was your first session. Back to you, Bob.
All right. Super duper. Well, we all have done it. We've all been there, and it's not difficult. It really is not difficult. And what's really going to amaze you is you'll get into the hobby, maybe without the code license at first. You can get into the ham radio without taking a Morse code license now and have a lot of fun. But if you learn just a small amount of Morse code, you will be able to operate much wider frequencies. You'll be able to get down on the lower frequencies where we talk around the world. That's and right. It's so easy. You already know three letters. I'm all right. Can't count. You know three. And how do you do that? Because right at the beginning of this show, and by the way, while you were talking, I got my little thingy out here and I put a little different resistor in here. And boy, I bet you can hear that.
Yeah.
Well, that's our code oscillator here. And what we can do is we can send four letters. And what are they? Now think about what you heard Joe Walsh playing at the beginning of the show.
It da da da.
Yeah, keep it going, Alex. Let her go.
Yeah.
Keep the music going. Do it again. Yeah. Keep it going. That's H-A-M. So you see, all you got to do is think about the wonderful song that Joe wrote for his beloved ham radio hobby. And Ham Nation will bring you those three letters, H-A-M. And you see, it's that easy. Code is really music. It's really another language. And don't let it give you a stigma that you can't learn it, because you can. Everybody can. And it's really fun. And building the little code oscillator, you saw how easy it is. It's very simple. And you'll enjoy this hobby so much. And we're glad to be able to bring you some of this. We're thrilled that Leo has allowed us to come on the TWiT Network. I appreciate all of the chat room being there, and you guys are really super. I wish we could spend more time with the chat room. One of these days, I think after the show, maybe we'll just hang around the chat room for a while and have some fun. I think we need to do that, Gordo. That'd be kind of neat.
Well, thanks so much for all those of you that have written in. Thanks to the hams that have helped Susie and I stay on the air with Skype, Robert and Carol and Jim Osdale and George and many others. This is what ham radio is all about, and that is getting together and making things happen. So I've got to go clean up my ham shack, because Sue says it's a bit of a mess. So we'll see you maybe next week, or listen to you and listen to us next week.
Don't clean up the ham shack, because then nothing will work. And I know you won't be able to find anything. Well, it's been a lot of fun. And next week, we're going to it looks like we're going to have the guys in with that incredible 24A station from W3AO. And they're going to be showing us and telling us a little bit about how the organization. I know we've learned a lot about Field Day, but I want to know, how do you coordinate that? And that's going to be the real subject of what's going on in Frank's operation there. So we'll get that going in the coming weeks. We've got K3LR coming on. He has the absolute world-class contest station, and he'll be joining us. Then I'm really excited. We're going to have the kids on. Carol Perry, she's an incredible teacher from New York area, and she teaches hundreds of kids and has brought a lot of hams on the air. So we want to do that coming up. And we don't want to forget, just about a month, we're going to be on the Queen Mary, and we're going to bring you an entire show with those guys. It's going to be really fun. Nate Brightman and his team there that operate the ham radio station on the Queen Mary, and tell you how it got there, how it stays there, and how they keep it on the air 7 days a week. So thanks very much for tuning in, for listening, for viewing. Remember, we have replays, twit.tv/HN. TWIT, This Week in Technology, .tv/HN, Ham Nation. You can see all the replays, and you can then go to either the video or the podcast audio, as well as take you over to iTunes. So we'll be looking forward to seeing you somewhere on these amateur radio bands. Might be a little high in frequency, a little low, but we're going to be having fun, and I hope you do too. Get out to study books, have fun, keep us posted what's going on. And I want to see some pictures of those radio stations out there that are having fun. So good night to everybody, and keep the airwaves fun. That's what it's all about.
And so, be sure and hold the soldering iron by the correct end. There's Susie in 6GLF, and hi and goodbye from the Gordo house.
This is not the right. This is the wrong end, isn't it? Yeah.
No wonder it was warm.
Yeah, right. This was a different one. The other one I had was red. This one's just red. Well, thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks, Gordo, Susie, Alex, everybody, and all those guys in the chat room. We appreciate you being there. 7-3, that means, what is it, Gordo? 7-3 is?
Best regards, and Susie says 88, which is love and kisses. See you all later.
All right. So long, everybody. Bye-bye for now.